Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. I'm glad that you can hear me. We've got power back here in Studio B for the At Brando Cash Network, and The Call is coming to you right here, getting you ready for your Purple Friday. And who I'm talking to right now, phone to phone here, is a guy who wants to be a Raven so bad, he also has a debt to a lot of strip clubs here in town, just like Bryant McKinney. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm good. So how much do you owe to these strip clubs? Like, you and McKinney just rolled up and got your bills and didn't pay. What's up with that?
You know, it's just, you know how we roll. I mean, we think we own the world, so we just go in there and be like, look, we're Baltimore Ravens. We got the power, so we own the night. We own the city, and we do what we want.
Well, it's been a bye week here in Ravens Nation. It's been a long week, man. No football, and also we've all gone through it as long as you locally live here in Baltimore, but Hurricane Sandy came through, and I mean, a lot of us lost power. I just got power back yesterday. You know, I've got the Wi-Fi, and I've got cable back today. But we were all kind of lucky. I mean, there's a lot of people in New York and New Jersey who went through a lot worse than we did. But, man, this was a pretty big storm this week for Baltimore and all of Maryland. So how are you doing, man? How did you make out this week?
We made out good. You know, I'm not going to point out that we made out great. I mean, we lost power for a whole day, and, you know, that if that's the worst thing, then great. You know, just through the whole storm in general, I think it was just kind of just devastating, and I didn't even think it would be that bad in Baltimore in general. I think we came out a little bit lucky. You know, I can't really say for the rest of us, and I don't want to sit here and praise us up when our whole East Coast is devastated with this whole superstorm that we called Sandy that came through. And Brandon, I just, you know, the thoughts and prayers go out to those who've lost homes. I know my coworkers were impacted. She was from North Jersey, and, you know, she even told me today how she knows family members who just have lost homes. And get this is a very powerful story. Newlyweds who got married in Ocean City, they're actually still in Cancun for a few days in layover because they just found out their house is gone.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so it's the magnitude of this is just, you know, you hate to see it. You hate to see anything, but I know that, you know, with the NFL, and I heard actually the NFL and the NFL Players Association donating $1 million to relief fund. Charles Woodson donated $100,000 of his own money. And I'm sure stories will come in through the way that will trickle down that the Ravens are going to lend their helping hands. And, you know, us as Ravens Nation, we need to rise up and pray for, you know, our fellow fans out there who may have lost family members and may have lost homes. And, you know, it's a sad way to start, you know. I wouldn't say it's a sad way to start the podcast, but it's a sad thing note to, you know, start on. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's very important that our thoughts and prayers are with them, Brian.
Absolutely. You know, this is just, it doesn't matter who you root for or anything like that. We're all Americans. We all come together in times of need. This is when you see the true colors of this this great nation. And, of course, if you want to give back at all, you can always contact the Red Cross and donate money through there. There's going to be all kinds of different organizations. But, you know, I hope everyone in New York, New Jersey, you know, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, everybody that was affected by this, I hope everybody comes out okay. And I hope that, you know, we'll be around here to pick everybody up and you know, help them out throughout the way until they get somewhat back to a little bit of normalcy. But hey, you know what? The hurricane and the Superstorm Sandy came through, and thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. But let's go to a little bit happier things, and let's talk a little bit about Ravens football. It's finally back. You know, we had a bye week last week. Sunday was a little bit boring, but we've got a big divisional game this Sunday up against the Browns. So I keep hearing a lot of things. I keep hearing injuries. The first one that comes to mind right now, Haloti Ngata apparently didn't practice on Thursday because he's having problems with his knee. What do you think these injuries are going to do to impact the game on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to put my doctor hat on and just say for a fact that, you know, for our whole injury aspect in general, I don't think we can read into it just that much because how many times have players been off the list, on the list, and they played? But it is a big concern given the scope of things and the Ravens' history of injuries this season. It is a big deal. Haloti Ngata was limited, if not even practice at all. I think it's a Ravens' good move. Give him 2 weeks of rest. I just personally think I didn't see anything on the injury. I actually just read it an hour ago up until leading to the show and did not see anything that would put us in harm's way on Sunday. The only real Raven that really didn't participate on it all week was Parnell McPhee. And they didn't even list the real reason why he was out. I mean, they actually had 15 Ravens listed on the injury report as opposed to the Browns 18. So there are some Bengal football players going to this game on Sunday. And as we all know, like the Ed Reed injury and his neck and shoulder and whatever else he's got going on, and, you know, we got to monitor Suggs' Achilles injury and see how that holds up on the front. He looked good in Houston. Now with the bye week and the week in practice, I saw some practice footage and this week, and he looked good. You know, I don't see anything out of the ordinary that would, you know, obviously it's not game speed. He's in practice. He's not going to show the Achilles that's going to bother him or, you know, it's going to help him. You can't really get a gauge on that. But from his injury report, it's status quo, and we still don't have Webb or Ray out there. I didn't see any of them. So they didn't superhuman heal in a week. So I know that's not for a fact. So, but, you know, it's status quo, I would say, at the Castle.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple injuries that you got to think about. You know, with Haloti having his knee, that's a big blow right there. Even if he does play the game injured a little bit, that's definitely going to affect the defensive line. And of course, Jimmy Smith, he was on the injury list of just something I think going on with his ribs, but nothing too major to keep him out of the game. So that's another one just kind of look for. I want to switch up real quick and talk about the offensive line. Joe Flacco came out and said that he is a big fan, as we've all known this season, of the shotgun formation and him calling the plays, but it seems like he wants to not have the shotgun formation as much on the road. I'm guessing because of the crowd noise and everything, it's harder for him to call out the plays and get everybody on the same playing field. So do you see the shotgun formation still being there, but not being there as much during this game in Cleveland?
Yes, I agree with Flacco on that because the road is such a different environment. The shotgun formation, no huddle formations are really for, you know, whom? They're for the lower noise venues where you can actually communicate and hear. And the way the shotgun formations, I think, are put out is that's what it's used for. It's to be able to communicate effectively with the offense and with the noise on the road, especially when we're going to Pittsburgh in 3 weeks and, you know, we're going to Cleveland on Sunday. It's going to be a lot hard to hear and to get that mojo going and get that motor running and get the rhythm with the offense. And I think it's showing. I think that could be the where the road that's a tongue twister. Road woes come from is when we start getting out of our offensive game plan. I think whether it's the game plan in general, whether, you know, Cam Cameron has something on the paper and we don't have a plan B, or whether Flacco just whatever it doesn't work, it just doesn't work, and it just shows you after the whole game. But again, I'm not going to, you know, repeat back the last podcast. We've already laid that to rest, but I'm telling you what, if Freddie Rice isn't the focal point of the offense, we don't have to reiterate that. We've already did that a half hour last week, but I'm telling you what, you know, they got to get him involved.
Absolutely. Being in Cleveland, they're saying the shotgun formation and everything on the road, they might be blaming that for their poor performance this year. But we have to remember, too, last year they didn't have a great road record either. I mean, it was always a struggle on the road. We'll see this Sunday if this helps. If it doesn't, who knows what will happen. But I personally don't think that getting rid of it completely is the answer. I think limiting it is the best idea because we really do have to get Ray Rice into this game more. We talked about that last week. Ray Rice is an integral part of this team, and he has to be able to get the ball. He has to carry the ball. So I think keeping the ball grounded is a great idea. It's a better idea for the road, especially against a divisional team, because this is going to wage real big at the end of the year. Now, Cleveland doesn't have the greatest record, so it'll be interesting to see how they show, because we've got a team that isn't the greatest in the world, But we also have a team, the Ravens, who are on the road, who aren't the greatest team on the road. You know, so it's going to be a very interesting game, and I look forward to it on Sunday.
I very much look forward to it as well. I'm chomping at the bit to get at it. I mean, Sunday was kind of weird. Didn't really get revved up. It was football Sunday, but didn't really. I spent time with family. I didn't really get into it. And just watching the scoop of things in general. And reverting back to last Sunday to recap what happened. Obviously, Cincinnati was on a bye as well. You know, and actually, because I know the Chargers were playing, you know, Thursday Night Football this week. And speaking of the Chargers, the Browns beat them. I don't know if you got to see that Browns game, but that was a sloppy. It was just atrocious. Like, you think the Kansas City Ravens game was bad? This was probably equally, probably not worse. I mean, the score was 7-6. Cleveland was up 7-0. Trent Richardson ran down the field, and then he broke, I think, a 20-yard run. And, you know, pretty much he ran into his own guys, broke his own guy's tackle, ran the end zone. And then two Chargers field goals, they just looked sloppy. The Browns win. And then I'm sure you saw this, Brandon, but what were the Steelers wearing? I mean, I had to think of like 20 nicknames. I can't stop laughing. That was atrocious. What was that?
Honestly, all right, even if you are a Steelers fan and just kind of stumbled onto the call here, You got to agree with us that those were just the ugliest looking uniforms that anyone has ever worn. Look, I like retro jerseys, dude. Like, the Patriots retro jersey is awesome. I love that one. I love the Minuteman on the helmet. I think that's a great retro look, something like an alternative to have just with your regular jerseys. But come on, man. You know, stripes, and it looked like Docker pants. That did not look like a football team at all. It looked like, you know, it looked like they were wearing like a swimsuit from the 1920s, like a bodysuit.
Yeah, whatever it was horrible, and obviously it was more horrible to watch because they won. Redskins did not help us out at all, but it's okay. Still a game back. They are 4-3. We're 5-2 when we were idle. And this is where the glaring concern is we do have to watch our backs because – I don't know what's going to happen, but, I mean, the Steelers have the Giants, you know, and then we have, obviously, the Cleveland Browns, but in 3 weeks we play each other, and if we ended up a game ahead or tied in division, right, or not division, but record-wise, this next month's going to shape up in the division to be one, you know, unprecedented game coming up in 3 weeks and just setting the table and, you know, obviously we already know the Steelers won. We know the Browns won. So the division got shaken up a little bit. The Browns are still, you know, very much in last place at 2-6. Not much concern, but again, they did not give us, you know, anything more concerned about because on Thursday night, we didn't really wipe the floor with them, you know, Brandon. We actually, it was a close game. It was a divisional game, and Kerry Williams' interception was the difference in that game, which was a 7-point win. So right now, as this team stands, I'm not really high on this team and high on this win, but I don't know. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you like your brownies?
How do I like my brownies?
How do you like your brownies?
If we're talking like Betty Crocker brownies, I mean, you like them moist, you like them chewy. Chewy's a good one.
Yeah,
you like to have them sweet, of course.
Well, we're gonna put out the platter of brownies per se on this one, and this is one of the, if you would call the teasers that I teased this week, that we're going to talk some brownies, and I'm going to go through the various flavors and difference of brownies, and we're going to kind of go through and taste test some. Do you want to taste test?
I like that. That sounds good.
I want to put my chef hat on. I mean, I'm not much of a cook, but you know what? I feel like I'm cooking right now, and I want to throw some brownies in the oven and see how they come out. Well, first on the top is, you know, going through the difference of brownies we have here is I want to kind of go and preview this in a way of, you know, it could be, a chocolate chip brownie because it could be, you know, crispy and chunky because with this team, we don't know what we're going to get. If we get a rough road like we had on the Thursday night game, it can end up being a bumpy ride and not really like a chewy brownie, if you could say. It could be a crispy, more tough brownie to get digested.
Overcooked is what you're saying. Overcooked.
Well, overcooked would be I think we would lose the game. So I wouldn't say. I would say a little bit concerned, but I'm telling you what, I don't want to bite into a rocky, hard, you know, maybe a little slightly over cold brownie this Sunday, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It would. You know, and you know, with this offense, with the 2 weeks off, are they going to give us what you want, the warm, moist brownie where, okay, they're going to flow on offense, they're going to trounce them like they should and win by 15 points. We don't know. But I'm just telling you what, I don't want to see the brownie where it's going to give me food poisoning and make me have toilet duty at the end of the game where we ended up losing the game.
Right.
I don't want that kind of brownie.
I want purple and black sprinkles on top. That's what I want.
Well, I was thinking about purple and black icing, but you got it right there. Sprinkles, if you like sprinkles and jimmies and whipped cream, whatever you want on them. I mean, hey, you know, right now we got the works. The brownie bar is open. How about that?
I like it. I like it, man. They should have a brownie, you know, bar instead of, like, you know, the great cookie or something. Let's have a brownie bar.
We should. We should start that. We should start that because usually, and I got this idea because usually on Browns Week, I used to call it Brownie Week, always go, I smell brownies. It's just my little war cry. So I think we kind of get a little twist on that.
I like it, man. I like it.
So, yeah, it was. Thought I'd have some fun with the brownies this week. So we'll see if we can cook some brownies, you know, on Sunday, whether they come out smooth or rough or overcooked or, you know, with not out chocolate chips or however you like your brownies, folks. But we're looking for a good game on Sunday. And I'm predicting, leading my predictions, obviously sums it up. I'm going to predict a 24-10 win. I think we actually get out of the gate. I think we get rolling. I don't think we're going to stop Trent Richardson, honestly. I think Trent Richardson counts for 150-plus yards and their touchdown. I don't think Brandon Whedon's going to throw on us. I think they're more going to run the ball. I'm concerned because Joe Hayden's back for them and with what we have going on offense. But I'm telling you what, if we keep Flacco upright and run the football, it's a simple formula. And if we can get to them, the three keys to any game, you have to run the football, protect your quarterback, and get to the other quarterback. That's the winning formula. And if any NFL team wins, if you see how they win, that's how they win. So this is what the winning formula for Sunday to beat the Browns is. Okay, we got to run Ray Rice. We got to protect Joe Flacco and not make him run around for his life and then make stupid mistakes. He hasn't this year, which is a positive. He has not rushed the throws and thrown boneheaded interceptions like I would say in his second or third years. He's actually matured in that aspect. And, you know, the thing is, we need to get to Brandon Whedon because if he stands upright, he's going to pick us apart like he's Tom Brady and throw four or five touchdowns, and that cannot happen.
I agree with you. I think that's the key to the games. I'm going to change up your score at the end. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'm thinking it's going to be maybe like 17-14. I think Justin Tucker is going to be the deciding factor here. And the only reason I'm saying that is because our defense is banged up. We do have Sizzle back, but of course, even if he does look great, he's not at 100%. There's no way he can be. I think he's good enough to play, and I think he's good enough to be out there and be a big factor. But again, that Achilles tendon is going to be something that they're watching very closely. So if there is the slightest bit of anything going on there, they're going to pull him off the field. And I think injuries to like Jimmy Smith and Haloti Ngata are definitely going to affect the defense. And I think it's going to be a close game. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that, you know, the Ravens are way ahead of them early on. But again, we've counted on Justin Tucker a lot, and I don't think this game is going to be any different. I think he's going to be the decision maker in this game.
I think that could be a good assessment. I kind of like the ballsy move there and making it a closer game. I mean, right now we really don't know. Like you said last week, this team has no identity, so we can't really say, oh, they're going to go in and win by 20 or they're going to lose by 20. We don't know. This team, I think Forrest Gump could really – we can reach some Forrest Gump in our eyes because this team is really like a box of chocolates. We don't know what we're going to get, but let's just hope that we're going to eat some good brownies on Sunday. How's that?
I think that sounds good, and I think that, you know – after the game, as the Ravens win, I think you ought to tweet a picture of these nice brownies that you made for your whole family. You know, I think that would be really nice of you.
I think it would be too. You know, I don't know if I'd be making them, but they'd probably be.
It's okay. Store-bought's fine if you want to get them from Mars or something. That's cool.
You always fake it. Be like, hey, I slaved over this. I did because I apparently worked for the money to buy them, so I did slave over them. Right.
That sounds pretty good.
Got to be clever.
All right, man. So do we cover everything? We got everything good for this week?
Well, I think, for as far as covering the Ravens in the game, I think, you know, it's pretty much straightforward. We kind of got everything. There's really no news. We obviously, you know, in the NFL, the trading deadline came, and there was only one move, and it was, I think it was Tlaib. Yeah, Tlaib, the cornerback from Tampa Bay, was actually traded to, of course, what all teams? The Patriots, of course. The only team that's active, anyway.
Well, do you hear who else the Patriots were kind of thinking about kicking around? Billy Cundiff joined the Patriots camp yesterday, and they kind of tested him out to see how he was like. I think because he helped them win the game last year, they think he might help them win games this year, but Patriots, if you want to, you know, keep winning or whatever, I don't think Billy Cundiff is the answer, but...
That would be kind of ironic.
Yeah, be big time ironic.
Very. It's. I would say compared to the Jacoby Jones signing, where okay, he muffed two punts and helped us win, but we signed him because obviously the Ravens see something in him. When we seen that, look what he did. Last game, he had 108 yard. You know, in the he had 108 kickoff return in the Texans or not Texans game, but Cowboys game. Still the same lines. You know, it's a Texas team. So.
Yeah.
But same difference, but I'd rather beat the Cowgirls than Texans, if you ask me. Everybody hates the Cowboys for some reason. I don't know why. They love picking them apart. I love the, you know, looking at America's teams, you know, the Lakers, Yankees. It's just, I don't get it. I mean, I was watching the Portland Lakers game the other night, and the whole crowd's like, beat L.A. It's just like people love to beat on these teams. It's just, it's almost like when the Ravens become the dynasty, or it's like the Ravens were like that. Would the whole country hate Baltimore and say beat Baltimore? You know, like I've always thought about that. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I would just like anyone acknowledging Baltimore to sell more of their jerseys and different players instead of just like the three or four that are out there. But as long as as long as they're talking a little bit, would be nice.
Exactly. couple of points I wanted to discover. I was watching a little bit of college games, and we got, of course, with being sports fans and friends, and we always have the off-the-ball conversation during games, and I kind of wanted to bring up 2 points in football that I kind of think is intriguing, that the difference between the college and NFL games, and I wanted to get, you know, bounce around the opinions and kind of throw this out there as a topic was, you know, topic number one is, I want to talk about the division of fans. You know how we always go to the football games and, you know, you hate sitting next to the Pittsburgh fan or he's in front of you and waving a stupid towel and you just want to kick him in the back of the head. We've all been there.
Yeah.
It's like he's annoying, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I noticed some college venues and, you know, I don't know if it's the neutral ones or it's not, but, like, you notice how, like, all the fans for one team on one side and all the fans on the team on the other side. And I heard a fan say, well, it's like that in soccer, like in Europe and other countries where – if you go to a soccer game, the fans aren't mixed. They're on one side, and then the other team's on the other side, and you don't mix the fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that would cut down on misconduct or trash-talking or fans getting the fights, but I never thought to divide fans like that. And I thought, you know, I've never been a part of something like that. So I never, you know, I don't think the NFL would ever get to that because obviously I wouldn't want to sit, you know, you wouldn't want, you know, M&T Bank Stadium, it wouldn't be the stadium it was if he had, you know, 30,000 Ravens fans on one side and 30,000 fans on the other side. I mean, obviously that's not going to happen because it's Baltimore and that's our hometown. But I just never thought of that. I think it's a pretty cool concept how sometimes they do that. I think in neutral environments, which is kind of cool, it, like, spreads it even, you know?
Yeah, well, it was a couple years ago. Now, you know me, I'm a big wrestling fan. I went up to Philadelphia and I saw these two independent teams. It was the Ring of Honor Wrestling against CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling. And I got one of the floor seats of one of the ends of the ring. But in the bleachers, the left side was CZW, the right side was ROH. And man, let me tell you, that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever had at a wrestling show.
Really?
Because when they had these guys going up against each other, you had one side cheering, you had one side booing. Never heard a place that loud before. I mean, it was in a National Guard armory. It wasn't like M&T Bank Stadium, but it was a tiny place. But the big match at the end of the night was the Cage of Death, and you know, they had people coming in. Whoever won the coin flip at the beginning, he was the first person to have somebody come in after 2 minutes, and they would rotate who comes in until everybody's in there. It's six people each, and amazing match. And the reason why it was so amazing was because the crowd was so into it. And you really had equal sides saying who they wanted to win and who they wanted to lose. So that kind of atmosphere, definitely very interesting to be a part of. And I don't know what it would be like to have, you know, Steelers versus Ravens at M&T Bank. I mean, I think that it would be hard for the players because, again, you know, hometown team is a huge deal for both teams. Anytime you're in front of your hometown, you're in your own crowd, that it helps you. I mean, that's the big thing. That's why we're so good at home, because the fans are so into it and they back up the Ravens so much. So it is very interesting. I don't know how it would work on that scale.
I don't think it would work in NFL. I just throwing it out there. I think it's a cool concept in some sports and some sports venues. Like, you're right. The home field advantage is utterly important, I think, in the NFL more than any sport, because number one, you have the one and done game, and it gives you that emotional edge. How many times have the Ravens Stadium has been voted number one NFL for the loudest place to play, hardest place to play on the road, and you know, how many times obviously you've seen in baseball it didn't matter because obviously the Tigers swept the Yankees and then the Tigers get swept by the eventual championship San Francisco Giants. So really, and then I think the NBA too, because it's arena, and I think with the NBA it's more runs that you can play off the crowd more because you can get them into it. And I've seen that evident, especially with Oklahoma City last year in the finals. You know, you can kind of see some teams play off that crowd. I think depending on what sport it is, the home crowd sways into it more. And it was just a cool concept because especially in the college environment where that's like the fan environment and they were like split. It's like, yeah, you can't interact with the fans, but someone brought up a good point because someone even asked me, they were just sitting there watching it and the guy just randomly asked, do you think they cut stand on misconduct? I'm like, good point. You don't know if they get fights or if it kind of creates a bad atmosphere because it's split and it's not really that loud. So it's a good point. It is a good point. I'm kind of glad to hear that wrestling does that too. It's a pretty cool environment.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's really it's a cool place. It's a cool way to experience the event that's going on. So, yeah, definitely something very interesting.
Awesome. Kind of want to also touch one more point is going back, reverting to kickers earlier in the podcast. I kind of wanted to touch on it then, but obviously you didn't call for it. But I kind of noticed something, and it was a trend. Because I was watching, obviously, a lot of football on Sunday, not getting involved in the Ravens game. So I watched, like, all the Red Zone channel, and I'm watching all the games at once. And, I was kind of looking, and do you know that the NFL, I don't think has, and obviously, of course, before I even say this, first off, I am not racist at all, and this isn't a prejudiced racist comment. I just thought this was kind of intriguing because I know some good black soccer players, and I don't think there's any black kickers or punters in the NFL, and that was kind of intriguing to me how, especially because I actually went to college with a black soccer player, and he's very good at what he does, and I know several who are very good. I just never seen that. I think it would be pretty cool to see that, but I just thought it was a pretty cool concept to actually think outside the box and notice that, there's no black kickers in the NFL.
Yeah, that's never even crossed my mind. I didn't even know that.
What's it called? The mindless things I think about when there's no Ravens game on Sunday. I get bored thinking about other things. But I'm like, every channel I looked, I kept white kicker. I was like, well, we need to mix up a bit because I like to see, I like to see a game-winning field goal, but it's just something I like to see, I'm all about oneness and, sharing a moment with that, and I think it would be kind of cool, and it would be kind of cool to see, and I'm going to research that. I don't know I'm sure it's happened in the NFL. We just haven't seen it in our day and age or never really thought about it because obviously we're America and, we're all created equal, and I don't think that it's going to matter, and it doesn't matter to me. I just thought that was kind of a cool concept to think about that. It's like with the quarterback, you always think the quarterback is, there's a white quarterback, but obviously we see Vic and we know our Tyrod Taylor's our backup. They're very good athletes at what they do. You just never think of that position as such. And I think it would be a cool honor to see something like that and see a very good player do well in the NFL. And I like the Ravens to try it out, and maybe the days of Justin Tucker are gone. Maybe we can find one in Diamond in the Rough somewhere at college down in the swamps in the SEC somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I that would be great.
Yeah, it definitely would. And I don't know about you, but I want to get the brownies in the oven for the Sunday. And I'm ready to see the Ravens play. I'm very much eager to get chomping at the bit. I was just texting my friends tonight, and I was like, I can't wait till Sunday. And they're like, I was thinking the same thing. And we're just all fired up. And it's like I said, this bye week, I think it was a refresher to get back to football, and obviously, and speaking of that, and getting back to football, and kind of, this is way off the launch when she's just, but we have to congratulate them. This week I found, you know, it came the news out that the Orioles had 3 Gold Glove winners, and I want to give a shout out to our Orioles fans and the O's. What a great season it continued. And, you know, with Adam Jones, Matt Wieters, and J.J. Hardy getting a third of the 9 Gold Gloves awarded in the American League. And I think that's a very good honor, showing that the season wasn't just a mirage. You know, it was real. We pushed the Yankees to Game 5, and, you know, they were awarded by 3 Gold Gloves, and, you know, coupled with the Ravens, successful right now, 5-2, and then hopefully they can get, you know, in gear and find their identity soon. You know, it could be, you know, barring that, yes, the Orioles didn't win the World Series, but right now it's an exciting time in Baltimore, and, you know, coupled with, you know, hopefully with the devastation of the East Coast, and we can rise to help in that area and, you know, bail our fellow man out, that, you know, I think that with the NFL games this Sunday, and, you know, maybe we can use it as a time to, you know, take our focus off of that and get back to, you know, what we come together on Sundays for, and, you know, just keep in mind that, yes, they might be wearing the other enemy's colors. I mean, they're all our brothers, and we all love them the same. You know, yes, I was, you know, I'm just going to put a jab into Pittsburgh because I want to, but, you know, yes, I was kind of devastated to see that Heinz Field was still intact during the storm, but, you know, hey, you know, you got to throw your jabs in there. I do hate Pittsburgh with all my heart, but, hey, you got to love and respect them, because without them, we wouldn't have a great rivalry. They wouldn't push us to the brink, and I think it creates a good division. And really, let's go Giants on Sunday, because they're going to play Pittsburgh, and we got the brownies, and hopefully we can come out eating some smooth, cool, chewy-looking brownies.
That sounds pretty good, man. Definitely looking forward to Sunday. It's going to be a good game. And if you want to follow along with us during the game, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh is on Twitter, too. He's always putting out that Ravens news. So where can people follow you on Twitter?
People can follow me at ItalianGQ52. And Brandon, you didn't say the tagline.
What's that?
Do we cover everything?
I did say that, but we didn't.
You said it like 20 minutes ago. Come on, man.
All right, I'll ask you now, okay? That last part just didn't happen. Hey, sorry, Josh, did we cover everything?
If we didn't, Ed Reed's got it.
All right, I like hearing that.
There we go. Man. You can't miss my boy, Ed.
Now, if you like the call and you want to like it over on Facebook, go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you can like the at Brando Cash Network. You can like the call and all the other shows, get all the information you need. And if you do like the call and you're listening to us on something besides iTunes, go over to iTunes, subscribe on there, and write an iTunes review. It kind of helps us, you know, climb the ladder in the iTunes ranks and get a little bit more exposure, which would be great. And of course, if you leave an iTunes review, retweet anything that we say about the call, you know, tell your friends about it, talk about it on Facebook, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, wherever you're at, LinkedIn, I don't even care, you know, wherever you want to go, just tell people about the call. It would really help us out and helps us, you know, kind of grow and get more listeners. So it would be a big, big deal for us, with your guys' help, if we keep, going higher and higher. So of course, Josh, you're going to end the show with your own tagline. You got your own thing. So we'll look for a great game on Sunday, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Josh, send us away.
You got it, folks. Ravens fans, Ravens Nation, and Brandon, let's go Baltimore Ravens. Fly high on Sunday. Enjoy the brownies.
This has been a production of the @BrandoCash Network.